From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 26th day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will join us right here in Champaign to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll hear about the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. And along the way, I'll update you on what's coming for this Friday in terms of the grain stocks report and how U of I ag economist Todd Hubbs sees that report and his expectations for the corn number. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look now at the numbers as they traded in Chicago and what they all mean with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's kind of a cool one out there, and I want to start this time not with the grains, but with the hotter of the two sets of markets. So let's take a look at the livestock. The USDA's numbers with cattle on feed must have had quite an effect.
Well, it was cattle on feed report, actually. When you look at the numbers that came out there Friday, the back end was kind of the concern on the placements up front here. The numbers kind of fell in place, but the market did open lower, traded lower. That lasted for about an hour or so. Then it started the healing process. As we went in midday, we had the spec leaf crowd come back in and support the complex. Also, too, we are seeing a little bit of encouragement on some box beef movement and a little uptick in the cash trade. Cash trade was a concern last week as we saw a fairly significant drop, particularly in the Texas area. So we'll see how featuring goes throughout this weekend through here. A lot of spread unwinding when cattle was lower earlier. The hogs were higher. And as the cattle moved higher, we unwound that spread. Hog demand overall still remains fairly well. We've got some numbers to go through, though, as we go into July and August time.
Two items in the news we'll hear about a bit later, but the Chinese took their first shipment of U.S. beef, and USDA closed down beef coming in from Brazil. I suppose both of those were supportive to the marketplace.
Yeah, not only the U.S., but other countries are falling in place, kind of caution or putting a handle on Brazil here on their beef. So that opens up our market and creates a little bit of demand to some of these other countries. Even Australia can benefit from that, and they're a big supplier in the world market also.
In the grains, wheat futures faded. Why was that the case?
Well, I think it was kind of some spread unwinding. Also, too, we kind of saw some moisture up in the dry areas of the Dakotas there, but not enough to send the spring wheat futures lower. And I think with the harvest activity in the hard red winter wheat and the soft red winter wheat, we saw everybody kind of run for cover. The spec leaf crowd was only short 21,000 contracts of wheat, and that wasn't quite short enough. So they put the whammy to it. A lot of buying beans, selling wheat, buying corn, selling wheat on the spread.
East of the Mississippi River, Illinois is one of the larger producers of soft red winter wheat. I made a trip over the weekend through the southwestern part of the state, Washington County. Let's see, I got into Randolph. I'd have to think whether I got into Washington County or not. But all the wheat in that area was gone. Wheat beans were already in place. So maybe probably just some help. There's some sales push there in the wheat as well. Soy complex and the corn, just a bit of recovery after a really tough week last week?
Yeah, we saw those pesky July options go off the board there Friday, so we removed that fear in the marketplace, the overhead resistance. We came in here this morning, saw some fairly good export inspections report. We shipped out 38 million bushels of corn and 11.5 million bushels of beans, which is constructive. Also, too, we saw a fresh sale of 110,000 tons of beans to Bangladesh. Weather-wise, favorable weather, cooler temperatures with some rain around. This afternoon's crop conditions report is expected to improve 1-2% in the good to excellent category for corn and beans both. However, though, we're going to watch Illinois fairly closely because Illinois, about one-third of the states, only received about 50 to 8% of the rain, normal rainfall. And so there's a few areas struggling, so it'll be interesting to kind of see how that unfolds. In fact, if you've been following the weather, some of this weather's kind of hit and miss. One guy told me he left his double-barrel shotgun against the barn. It rained. One barrel was full of water, and the other barrel was bone dry. So we'll see how this weather pattern unfolds in here. But, man, we've got a ton of information here this week coming at us. Weather. We're looking at the daily export news. Towards the end of the weekend through here, we've got the acreage estimates, quarterly grain stocks estimate, and deliveries, too. Those July futures go into the delivery process. So those of you who have July basis contracts will continue to work on that between now and the end of the week. Then on the deliveries, with the wide basis levels, we'll be interested to see if some of the commercials come forward and make some cash grain deliveries against some of those future contracts, Todd.
Have you looked at the trade estimates for the end of the week for both the acreage and the grain stocks numbers?
Yes, and acreage is, nobody's really getting brave on a whole lot less corn acres and a whole lot more bean acres. And this kind of goes back to the intentions, and I think the intentions were still there. And what will probably happen is down the road, see if those acreage shifts show up and prevent plant. Also, we're looking at probably 50,000, 100,000 less corn acres, maybe 200,000, 300,000 more bean acres. The stocks, this is kind of a biggie here. Average trade estimate for corn stocks is 5.123 billion bushels versus last year's 4.7 billion bushels. And bean stocks as of June 1st, 983 million bushels versus last year's 872 million bushels. And the significance of that is it kind of indicates we've got ample supplies or supplies more than a year ago. Now, where the fine-tuning comes in, we'll see if those numbers are within trade expectations to determine our usage to see if we need to adjust some usage numbers or the demand numbers here as we move forward.
Hey, thanks for being with us this afternoon. We look forward to talking with you again next Monday.
Hey, we got a holiday next week, but the markets do trade on Monday till noon. I'll still be here. No market
all
Tuesday
right.
Because of the four. So Wayne will be out of job next week.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Don't forget that on Friday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, USDA will release the grain stocks and the acreage report. We'll have those numbers up on our website, willag.org, at that time, or you can follow me at Commodity Week. They'll show up there as well. It's part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news and a win for American agriculture, the Trump administration and newly installed at that time Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, the Chinese said they'd begin taking shipments of U.S. beef. USDA's Gary Crawford has more.
On Friday, China allowed in the first shipment of U.S. beef in 14 years, but USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham told us it was a fairly small amount and that to really get a lot of U.S. beef moving into China, it's going to take some time.
For them to get the product that they need that meets the specifications that are part of the agreement.
Which include beef only from cattle under 30 months of age, plus
traceability all the way back to the farm. The Chinese will not accept product that has artificial growth hormones. So you will have to develop that pool of animals, which will fit the criteria. But it's a doable proposition.
Could be a lucrative one. China's a potential $2.5 billion beef market. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Let's stay with the bovines. The Brazilian beef saga seems to get worse as more information comes to light. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service, or FSIS, has told Brazilian authorities they must address systematic issues in that nation's inspection service before the country can resume selling beef products to the United States. The letter, dated June 22nd, cites serious and repeated food safety violations. In March, USDA began inspecting all fresh beef from Brazil after a corruption and bribery scandal involving the country's food safety inspectors came to light. Since that time, 11.1% of raw intact beef products inspected by FSIS have failed. The issues cited included weaknesses in Brazil's government oversight of sanitation and post-mortem carcass inspection, inadequate verification of sanitary dressing procedures, and lack of conflict of interest controls between inspection personnel and establishment management. The letter does not specify when FSIS conducted its most recent in-country audit. The last audit USDA has posted on its website is dated November of 2015. And finally today, let's stay with legal problems, but we'll switch from livestock to grains. A federal jury Friday ordered Syngenta to pay $218 million in damages to Kansas corn farmers for losses after China blocked U.S. imports as a result of the presence of an unapproved biotech variety of the crop. In 2013, Syngenta commercialized the AgriSure Viptura corn, which is resistant to certain pests, before it was granted approval by the Chinese government. As a result, Beijing rejected all U.S. corn imports, a move that farmers say caused corn prices to plummet. The jury decision Friday in the U.S. District Court for the District of Kansas is the first of those cases. More than 7,000 farmers were part of the Kansas litigation. The law firms representing the Kansas plaintiffs said the nationwide losses to U.S. corn growers as a result of the Chinese market restrictions are estimated to exceed $5 billion. Syngenta, based in Switzerland, said it would appeal the decision. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. A Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture will estimate how much corn is left in the country. This amount will need to sustain the nation through the fall harvest. Well, the grain stocks report is released once a quarter by USDA. It's made up of two parts. The first is a survey, nearly a census, of the number of bushels, in this case of corn, a grain elevator, terminal, or other type of certified storage facility has in possession. These are tallied as off-farm bushels. The other part is more of a guesstimate of how many on-farm bushels are in storage. When combined, these two surveys provide a picture of how many bushels are available in the United States, the available supply. The market keeps track of this, too. When the report is released, it compares what it thinks should be available with what USDA says is actually available, and then adjusts price accordingly. The trade estimates this Friday's grain stocks report should show about 5.158 billion bushels of corn on hand. This is the largest number for the June stocks report since 1988, and the third largest in records going back to the 1920s. University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs is using a lower number. His estimate is 4.944 billion bushels.
Now that's assuming feed and residual use in the third quarter was 1,241 million bushels, which is sort of keeping in a trend of the percentage of that's normally used in the third quarter, given the ending number of 5,500 million bushels of feed and residual that's expected in the 16-17 marketing year. We've seen strong exports, about 688 million bushels in the third quarter. We've seen excellent ethanol production and corn use in ethanol. About 1,342 million bushels of corn used for ethanol in my estimate. And we've seen stronger industrial uses for corn. They've upped those numbers over the last few WASDA reports, and I've got about 413 million bushels used for other industrial uses besides ethanol.
The other category would include products like glucose and dextrose that can be made from corn. Again, given the usage which took place during the third quarter, Todd Hubbs estimates the June 1 grain stocks report will show something near 4.944 billion bushels of corn in all positions. And he says this figure would be on pace to meet USDA's usage goals for the year, including the 5.5 billion bushels it expects to be fed to livestock.
I think if we're within 150 million bushels of that, you know, we're basically on pace to hit that 5,500 million bushels feed and residual for the 16-17 marketing year. Anything outside of that range, you know, there might be a warning signal. And if I was saying, would it be higher or lower based on the uses we've seen since they've in this marketing year, it might be less feed and residual use would be more likely of the two scenarios, which would mean a higher stocks number.
And that brings us back to the trade estimate. Illinois' Todd Hubbs is at 4.944 billion bushels. The median trade guess is 5.158 billion. Well, that's enough of a difference, 164 million bushels, that it could generate a push higher in the corn market if Hubs is correct. However, this number is likely to be way overshadowed by the other report due from USDA Friday. It will release both the grain stocks and the acreage reports at 11 a.m. Central Time. Let's talk about the cash grain market for the afternoon. Brian Stark of the Anderson now joins us. Hey, Brian, thanks for being with us. How are things there at the Champagne Elevator?
Well, things are good. We're just starting to see some new crop wheat come in the door, and I think that'll increase as the week goes on here before we're set up to get another round of rain here towards the weekend.
I bet farmers were not happy with the fall in wheat prices today in that case.
No, I think even though wheat's kind of a small piece of our pie in East Central Illinois, obviously the decline doesn't bode well during the time they're ready to harvest, but most of their attention's focused on the drop that we've seen in corn and beans here in the last 2 weeks, and obviously with the benign weather forecasts looking forward into the first part of July, the market has little to be concerned about, at least today.
Do you see us in a channel trade for that, and can we bump up against the top side again or not?
Yeah, I think at some point, depending on how the weather bodes well, it's all about where the ridge is placed. It's on the southwest right now, and some models have it working back over the Great Plains, Nebraska, Kansas, the Dakotas here in the next week to 10 days, and it just depends on how far we stretch that into the eastern belt. If we'll see a run back up to the moving averages on some of these contracts. But for now, all eyes are pointed towards the June 30th crop report Friday, and obviously that'll be the next big needle mover one way or the other.
The Anderson's grain spread across the Midwest, but the bulk of what you collect is from the Illinois border, I think, still, all the way into Ohio. What are those two states, Indiana and Ohio, look like today?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because I drove and spent a couple of days last week driving across the center part of Indiana, and while there are crops that look pretty decent, there's a lot of crops from a corn perspective that don't look very good at all, at least from what I can tell. Granted, it's just a small percentage through the central part of the state, but not very good, and that's what we've kind of gathered from other plant locations, that they're struggling a little bit, and I don't have as good a feel for Ohio, but Indiana, out of the three states that I would think we'd look at the most, Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois, Indiana probably struggling the most right now.
We take it that your plants in Iowa are probably saying, and Nebraska too, hey, things are okay here.
Yeah, I think with Nebraska, with the ability to irrigate, even if the ridge comes back here in the next week and brings 100 degree temperatures, they've got the ability to water the crop. And for the most part, western Iowa, where our ethanol plant in Denison is, they seem to feel pretty comfortable about their start right now as well. So things all in all, overall, feel good. Obviously, prices not as much, and it'll be up to how we see the report Friday and then the weather moving into pollination for our next potential movers up.
And what are your bids for the day?
Tonight, we are cash corn is $3.49, new crop corn is $3.52, cash soybeans $8.96, new crop soybeans $8.78, and new crop July wheat is $4.40.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now let's take a look at the weather forecast here at willag.org. We're joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Mark, thanks so much. I know producers are really interested, the trade as well, in this ridge that has been building out west and where it might end up. I suspect you've been watching it closely.
That is for sure here, Todd, and obviously that is the focus of attention in the marketplace right now, and certainly for the next 10 days, the ridge of high pressure will be aligned more so out across the western U.S., although during next week, we do see some gradual easing of that into the plains region. And beyond that time frame, there are some increasing signs in computer model guidance, as well as some other signals outside of guidance that we look at here, pointing towards that ridge basically, you know, oscillating between the western Corn Belt and the Rockies. So we're going to see eastward progression here. And then over time, we feel down the road, we'll actually get more of a westward push again, or retraction of the ridge back out across the western U.S. But this oscillation between the western Corn Belt and Plains and the northern Rockies, we think that that is going to be the main areas of ridging as we go through the next several weeks.
And do you have a timeline for the length of the cycle or how long it takes to move from one place to the other and then back?
Well, at this time here, Todd, certainly what we're seeing with obviously the further west you are, specifically in the major corn-producing states, at least the longer duration that you'd be involved with some of the heat associated with this ridge of high pressure. And so an approximate would be about 5-6 days overall. And the further to the east, you'd be less than that. But that's obviously it's a more challenging question here. And the details are pretty tricky, but that's a good estimate at this time.
And then when it moves back and forth, do you end up with, and I'll use the colloquial term, but the ring of fire where you get rains along the edge? Is that in play as well?
Yeah, with the ridge moving, that certainly opens the door for rain opportunities. It looks with over the next few weeks, the main rains look to be more so across the central and eastern corn belt versus the west, but one thing to keep an eye on closely as we go through this week is that the best opportunity for rain in the western belt, which needs it, Nebraska, Iowa, where rainfall has been below normal this month, there are opportunities coming up later on this week. And computer model guidance is showing a good rain event for that area. However, we note that it also projected better rainfall for this week. And so that doesn't appear to verify, or at least for the start of this week and actually the past several days. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And obviously, if they miss out on this rain event, then their crop conditions will quickly go downhill.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. Tune in each day at 2:06 for the report. You can always visit us online at willag.org and hear it anytime you'd like as well.